bad affair, it was a bad affair. Bad affair, it was a bad affair.
Old and in the way, sisters. Laugh and learn with me, Janet.
And me, Nancy. The Bitchin' Sisters.
We're growing old in a new world with skyrocketing costs, crazy fashions, changing norms, and with limited time back.
Don't say that. Yes. We'll entertain you and inform you as long as we can.
You're sounding desperate.
Let's look back at how it was and ahead to what's coming.
Today, we have three women who have all had to start over after being married, though for each one at different ages and for different reasons. We will hear from each one on how the transition from married to being single again has affected them. Nancy and I are two of the three women, and our third guest is Anne, a friend from nearby La Crosse. Our intent is to give our listeners ideas on how to start over should you find yourself in a similar situation.
For our listeners, Anne, can you give us a lead up to your story, how you became a born-again single woman?
I would be delighted to do that. But first of all, congratulations to Janet and to you, Nancy. This is such an awesome podcast, and I'm really honored to be part of it.
Thank you.
So let's see. So a little bit of background about myself. I am 71 and single. I was divorced in 2018, and honestly, it was a difficult situation for me. I actually loved being married to my former husband, who I'll call Ron. We were married for 41 years.
Whoa.
Quite a while. He had a contract in Beijing, China. And long story short, he fell in love with his interpreter. And for a short period of time, we really worked hard to identify what was it that was not working in our marriage. He said that he was breaking up, and I later figured out, not too much later, figured out that he had not broken up. So it was a difficult situation.
So, Anne, what were some of the most important decisions that you found yourself facing?
For me, it was figuring out how to support our grown children. So I have two children. Our son was, he was 30-ish at that point, and he has two children, so two grandchildren there. My daughter was actually 5 years older than Ron's new love. So that was a difficult situation.
I'm shaking my head.
Yeah,
it's not good.
It was really hard for all of us. So I would say that those were the most important decisions, just figuring out how to support our grown children. Just briefly, I remember vividly making a clear decision myself that each of the five of us, so myself, my two children and their spouses, would have very individual journeys to address whatever emotions, concerns, frustrations each one of us had, and that it was important for us to support each other on these individual journeys.
And for me, with the death of my husband, obviously my first decisions regarded the funeral. And then there were all the finances. And my son, who was an adult, and my stepdaughter, also an adult, they took the reins, for which I am eternally grateful. I was so numb. And after the funeral, I had been given a week off of work, and I was surrounded by my friends and family. And with their help, I made a list of all the things I had to deal with. and I had to contact the insurance company, having a military background.
I saw your list once. It was very daunting under any circumstances, let alone so when you're already emotionally upset.
Well, yeah, I have an article called On Old and in the Way, and we haven't put it out there yet, but it is it's called When a Spouse Dies, and it's very in depth because you can't think. You just can't think. And so I'm not going to elaborate on every decision I had to make, but when we get that out there, you'll see.
Mm. Well, for me, with two children, I was mostly worried about financially keeping us going without my husband's support, and worried about how I was going to be mothering them by myself.
That's a lot of women's worries.
Yeah, for sure.
For others who find themselves in one of our situations, what advice can we offer to how to start to approach a situation like this? Anne?
It's obviously very personal, and everyone has their own set of supports. But I would say that in addition to thinking about professional supports, that could be a financial advisor, it could be a counselor, also know that you're stronger than you think you are. I had people tell me that at the time, and I did not believe it. But I actually have a little wall plaque that says something to that effect, that you're stronger than you think you are. And it's true.
It's interesting, because I was going to say that the advice I would give is you'll work it out.
Yeah, there we go.
Day by day, you know, you'll figure out ways to make it work.
You really will.
And then I just, it was like so sad to be in that house for me. So I couldn't move on emotionally until I got out of that environment, as beautiful as it was.
Mm-hmm. I had to sell my house to pay off my lawyer.
Oh, boy.
And I moved into a lovely apartment in La Crosse that I had a little bit of a life there for a while.
You had a car, too, right?
Of course, since I was separated, I bought a car. I didn't know anything about cars. And somebody helped me choose a Mustang. Oh, God, I mean, whatever year it was. It was a Mustang. And I have to say that later my husband and I got together briefly. We ultimately were divorced, but we got together briefly.
You reconciled.
We reconciled briefly. And he went off one day with the car, and he came back without it. And I said, "Where's the car?" And he said, "Oh, it was just a piece of junk anyway."
Oh,
period.
Oh, no.
I think he gambled it away or something. But okay, aside, that was just a little aside.
I did also sell my house. It was absolutely the right thing for me. In addition to not wanting to have all the memories surrounding myself, I needed to be closer to my job. So I really had two reasons to sell my house.
Yeah, when I sold my house for financial reasons, I also thought it was a beautiful house on Lake Onalaska.
Oh,
yeah, I loved it. But there were so many bad memories there that it just wasn't worth it. Every once in a while, I go back and drive by there and think, I could have still been here. But no, I'm happy.
Well, okay, so now, how has life, the way that you imagine the future to be and the reality of your life, changed?
All right. Well, I did imagine myself being busy and happy on my own. Honestly, I am not quite there yet. So I've been divorced for 6.5 years. I did read something at one point where if you're in a marriage for a long period of time, you need about 5 years to begin to heal. And then after that, you are you are in a place where you can start to rediscover who you really are.
So that guy on the speed dating, he was right.
He was right. Yeah, he was definitely right. You do need more time.
I'll have to rethink speed dating if I ever need to, if I ever need, I'm in that situation again.
There you go. It's okay.
Well, for me, after I split up with he who will not be named, but you know who you are if you're listening, I wanted to be with someone again, and I had some unfortunate experiences dating.
Right away, you did?
Stupid experiences. Yes, I was fragile. I was I was horrible.
Yeah.
Eventually, I found someone with whom I have been for 42 years.
There you
and,
go.
And it's been a great relationship. So that was good.
Well, I thought I was going to have a future with my husband, but it wasn't to be. And at that point, I had to move forward alone. The only thing that was the same for me was I went back to work after a week off. I still had our dog, and I still had bills to pay. In other words, life went on, just not with my partner. During the daytime, I was okay. When I was working, I had friends, coworkers. My mind kept busy, and I didn't dwell on my circumstances. But at home at night, you can probably identify.
Oh, I am right there with you, Nancy.
It was all I thought about. I even took some of his ashes, and I rubbed them on me, hoping I could get back some of him.
Yeah. Oh, I hear you.
Well, we all had children at the time. How did the change affect them?
Well, in my situation, this has really been pretty much the focus of my adjustment as well as their adjustment. So having been married for such a long time, they love their dad, and he was a great dad. So it's been difficult for them to figure out how to reestablish that relationship. My daughter, all of us went through counseling. My daughter's counselor suggested that she write a letter to her dad talking about how much she missed the dad that she thought that she had and that she wanted to figure out a way to connect with him in this new situation. But it was her way of letting go of the dad that she thought that she had. Hmm. She does FaceTime with him. He continues to live in Beijing. Hmm. He did marry his interpreter. That has not come to be a relationship yet between the new wife and my grown children.
Did they have children then?
They do. Well, did the ex-husband?
Yeah.
No, fortunately, that would have been even more complicated, I think. So we're moving along with this. My vision is that at some point they would, both of my children would have comfortable relationships with their dad. My son, I think, is moving a little bit closer to that. And my daughter is determined that her children, my ex, thank you, time for a sip of water. My daughter is determined that her children have a relationship with their grandpa. So they do FaceTime, and I admire her for that. I think that's a really admirable way
it is.
To look at the situation.
But FaceTime does somehow just doesn't. I have a granddaughter who lives in New York. She's 8 years old. Mm-hmm. I have seen her actually for just hours. And FaceTime, it just doesn't cut it.
Yeah, it's not the same as being in person.
But it's something.
It is.
How about for you, Janet?
Well, my children were younger, like about 8 and 14 or thereabouts. And my daughter got into, it was very difficult for her. She got into lots of trouble. Led many troubled years of life. Ultimately, I think that they understand why I split up with their father.
Mm-hmm.
He was not always attentive to them, and he was less attentive to them after we split up. And That's just the way some people are.
Mm-hmm. And as for me, well, my son lives 2.5 hours away, so he calls and checks on me, even now. And my stepdaughter and I started over with our fragile relationship. The death of her father, I think, even helped us bond closer because I depended on her in the early days of that situation.
Oh, that must have been rough for all of you.
It was.
Yeah.
Okay, but now, Anne, you're dating. Would you say? Would you call it dating?
Well,
are you speed dating?
Not speed dating. I did go online, which was very scary. I joined one of the seniors' dating apps, and I had the good fortune to meet a person that I've been good friends with for over 4 years now. Mm. I think it's been almost 4 years.
I've met him. He's really nice.
Yeah, Tom. Exactly. So we do enjoy getting together for dinner. That's our big thing on Saturday nights. We have been to 98 different restaurants.
What?
In our area over these years.
I don't think I've been to that many restaurants in my life.
Right.
It's really been a lot of fun, and I very much appreciate his friendship.
Well, and after a number of months, I had two girlfriends who rode motorcycles, and I had my motorcycle, and they invited me on a poker run. And I was, as I say, minding my own business. And on the poker run, this guy overheard me say I was from Sparta. And he came up to me and said, "I've lived here my whole life, and I've never seen you." And I answered sarcastically, obviously, "Well, I've never seen you either." And I wasn't looking for anyone, two new girlfriends and myself on a fun day. And the next day, there that same guy was sitting two pews in front of me at church.
That's
and he
amazing.
Turned around and went, "Hi." And I'm like, "What? I didn't even know him." And now I've been with him 24 years.
And you just got married.
Yeah, we just got married.
There you
That's
go.
Crazy. Yay.
That's so great. That's a great story.
So, Anne, you were the only one working now. Mm-hmm. I mean, how did work help you in your transition, or was it a hindrance?
Well, very similar to what you said, Nancy, I took refuge in my work. I stayed late. I was there early. I love my job, so that was a bonus. But I did realize that I was using it as a way to escape moving on in life.
Sure.
Yeah. So I needed that refuge at that time, and I can see now that I am nearing the point where I'm ready to go ahead and retire and enter a new chapter.
Good for you.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
It's all fun after you retire.
Well, were there any decisions that you made that you surprised yourself about? And what were the outcomes?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I have a couple of things. So I decided to join an adult beginner's tap class. And I had
tap dancing.
Yeah.
All right. I've done that.
I had so much fun with that. That was such a great decision. The other area that I've surprised myself in as far as making decisions is spending money. I was always reluctant to do anything beyond buying groceries and just the necessities of life. So I've purchased a new car, which is an EV, which was a big decision that surprised me.
A long way from an old Mustang.
Oh, there you go.
Go on.
And I am going on a cruise this summer. I never thought that I would allow myself to have that kind of a special event in my life. So, yeah, those are decisions.
And you decided to retire.
Well, that's true, too. Yep, that's about to happen. Yep, so
how about
several
you, Janet?
Decisions.
Well, I moved out from La Crosse, which is a city of, 50,000, out in the middle of nowhere, into a log cabin, and met a guy who had three young children. And I thought, I don't really want to start over with three young children. Oh, how many years will they be around? But here we are, 42 years later, and they are my children. And they've given me more probably than I have given them. But it was nothing that I visualized as being my future.
And finally, how have we grown as people as a result of this change? I can speak to that. I came to realize how much I learned what love is from my husband, Gene.
Oh,
and I hold him up as the model for future relationships.
He was a great family man.
Yeah.
Even though he and I probably had opposing opinions on so many things, especially politically. But he was a great guy.
When I was at the deepest chasm of mourning over his loss, I prayed to God to help me out of the hole I couldn't climb by myself. And I realized then how strong my faith has become because my husband Gene introduced me to the church. And it's also where I eventually came to know my future husband, Mike. And finally, I've accepted life on God's terms, not mine. In other words, I've had a long, scarful, circuitous journey to find him. And I've made it. And for that, I am blessed.
Oh, Nancy, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
That is beautiful. I can say that I have definitely grown stronger as a person. I didn't realize how much I had relied on my former husband to make decisions, and that was hard for me. So now I can celebrate whenever I make a decision, and it could be a big one, maybe regarding health or I'll leave it at that. And then the other decisions that I've made that I feel good about, going back to that earlier part of our conversation, they could be very small things, but it reinforces that I am stronger than I thought I was.
And I find that I am... My marriage, my first marriage, we were arguing all the time. There was always this drama. Mm-hmm. I was in tears and everything. And yeah. I'm a happy person. This does not happen in my life anymore, those kinds of things. That's how it's been different for me. I'm still, I still rely on my husband to do a lot of things. You know, it's a guy thing, Mark. You do it.
Yeah.
It's messy. It's cold, whatever. And he goes along with it. So.
Yeah, well, and you're partners.
Yeah, right. And I do other things.
Absolutely.
Yep. Are you better off or happier now for the quote-unquote gift your husband gave you?
Well, I am fortunate that I've always been a fairly positive person.
Yes, you are.
So I'm very grateful for that. I wouldn't necessarily say that I'm happier. As I mentioned, I definitely can see that I'm stronger. I am at the point, though, where I can look back on those 41 years that I had, and I am grateful and I'm appreciative. I was able to visit many different parts of the world. I never would have been able to do that if not for my former husband's work and his love of traveling. So I am working on being even happier than I was. And I think I would use the word grateful more than I would use the word happy.
When I think about my ex-husband, I don't know that there was any gift except
your children.
My children. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I think maybe the gift that I was given was that if I'm in a bad situation, maybe I can personally do something to change it.
Oh my gosh.
And before that, I was just wallowing.
For me, well, obviously, death is not a gift, but rather the time with Gene that we had, that is the gift he gave me.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, I'm eternally grateful, to use your word. Why? Because it's made me much more aware of how little time we have on earth and keeps me grateful for every second with my new husband.
Ah, that's beautiful.
Nancy and I come to you twice a month with new episodes of The Bitchin' Sisters. Catch you next time. Music by Hall and Sidnor.
Bad. bad affair. It was a bad affair.
Now Reelsbeard the juggler, he didn't have a plan. He was playing second fiddle in a one-man band. He had a couple of children, and he took himself a wife. And he moved out to the country to make the country life. Well, he started making butter, and that was when he learned. When you make a lot of butter, it's real easy to get churned. See, he didn't know. He didn't know. He didn't know. No, he didn't know. Every day you wake up and you feel with hope. That's when they can hit you with the rope and dope. You can sting like a butterfly, float like a bee. But sooner or later,
you'll be on your
bad
knees.
Affair, it was a bad affair. Bad affair, it was a bad affair.
Now Reelsbeard joined the circus. He was passing through his town. Everybody told him he was acting like a clown. He was no good at taming lions, and he couldn't do trapeze. And the barrel on that cannon was way too tight a squeeze. So he started into juggling. His partner was a bear. It didn't work out because things were always left up in the air. See, he didn't know. He didn't know. He didn't know. No, he didn't know. Every day you wake up and you're filled with hope. That's when they can hit you with the rope and dope. You can sting like a butterfly, float like a bee. But sooner or later,
you'll be on your
bad
knees.
Bad affair, it's just a bad affair. Bad affair, it's just a bad affair.
He tried to be a driving force. He couldn't learn to park. He tried to be a guiding light. He got swallowed by the dark. He lit a little candle, and he held it to the sun. I guess it was bad time, and it wasn't seen by anyone. See, he didn't know. He didn't know. He didn't know. No, he didn't know. Every day you wake up and you're filled with hope. That's when they can hit you with the rope and dope. You can sting like a butterfly, float like a bee. But sooner or later,
you'll be on your knees.
Bad affair is just a bad affair. Bad affair is just a bad affair.
He started not believing, and he started not to care. He didn't have a lot to eat, so he killed and ate the bear. He sits on that bearskin rug all day, just staring at the wall. But at least he was a juggler once, and he still has got the balls. See, he didn't know. He didn't know. He didn't know. No, he didn't know. Every day you wake up and you're filled with hope. That's when they can hit you with the rope and dope. You can sting like a butterfly, float like a bee. But sooner or later,
you'll be on your
bad affair. It's just a bad affair.